Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our Newsmakers podcast. I am your host, Business Management Editor Matt Bishop, and we have a great show on tap for you today. We'll be speaking with Doug Dougherty, the president and CEO of the Geothermal Exchange Organization, about the latest happenings with Geo, plus a look at where geothermal is headed both at the federal and state levels. So coming up next, it's Doug Dougherty right here on the Newsmakers podcast. And we are now pleased to be joined by Doug Dougherty here on the Newsmakers podcast. Doug, how are you doing today?
Doing very well, Matt. Thank you.
To start it off, there have recently been a few changes at Geo. Can you take us through what's going on there?
Sure. We continue to grow as the National Trade Association representing the geothermal heat pump industry. I think over the last couple of months, actually, have about 15 new members, everything from manufacturers to component manufacturers to dealers. And we continue to grow the association to represent the industry, and we have advocacy work being done in Washington, D.C., and probably in about a dozen states as we speak.
Wow. Now, that has obviously been a big change for Geo. What progress has Geo made from a legislative standpoint in 2014?
Well, on the national front, we continue to try to get geothermal heat pumps in the definition of renewable energy at the federal level. Unfortunately, the Senate bill, which we worked very hard on getting an agreed-to amendment, didn't go anywhere. It was commonly referred to as the Shaheen-Portman bill. We do hear that it may come back in the fall, and if it does, we have an agreed bipartisan amendment that we worked on. And we vetted the entire Senate Energy Committee members and their staff, and everyone has signed off on the amendment. So if that bill goes forward, we will be included in the bill, and the definition of renewable energy at the federal level will include geothermal heat pumps by using the term thermal energy avoided by a geothermal heat pump. That will be included in the definition. So that would be a big success for us. And then most recently, we have been working with the EPA, federal EPA, on the issuance of their guidance for a rule to be established by the states to come up with a carbon reduction plan. And again, we met with federal US EPA people to, again, convince them that we are both an efficient technology and a renewable source of energy. And they agreed. So now what the challenge is across the country to get local geothermal heat pump advocates to the state EPA offices to make sure that geothermal heat pumps are in their state plans for reducing carbon emissions from power plants.
You know, you mentioned the Shaheen-Portman bill, and that's kind of been a big story in the HVAC world for several, seems like a long time now. From your standpoint, trying to get that definition in there, how trying has it been for Geo and its members to see this, stall time and time again?
Well, it's just the nature of politics. I mean, it's at times disappointing, but you can't let your disappointment cause you to stop the effort. You just have to keep renewing the effort to make sure that whenever something passes for energy efficiency, we're included in that definition. So it's been at times frustrating, but nevertheless, if you understand the political process, this is nothing out of the ordinary, and we just have to keep fighting the fight. We tried in the Senate, and the Senate has stalled, but so we said, okay, let's try the House. So we met with Energy Chairman Upton and Upton staff, and they said, we'd be happy to run just a small separate bill to change the definition and include you guys in the definition of renewable energy. So we're working that path now, too, in the House. And we have a bipartisan-supported bill that's ready to be introduced by Representative Shimkus and Bobby Rush, both of Illinois, Republican and Democrat, who both believe that we should be in the definition. So we just keep plugging along.
How long of a process has this been now? How long have you been working on trying to get this definition included?
3 years.
3 years. Okay. Now, from your perspective, Doug, are there bigger hurdles for Geo on the state level or the federal level right now?
Well, I think they're somewhat similar, but, just a different animal. The federal government being, slow and prodding and takes time to get things done. At the state level, what we've realized is because we didn't have advocacy at the state level, we were left out of the definition of renewable at the state level. So those states that have renewable energy portfolio standards for their investor-owned utilities, the definition, again, for renewable says generated by wind, solar, hydro, and it doesn't use the term or thermal energy avoided by a geothermal heat pump. So for us to get into the state statute, we've got to sort of change the law, and it's always harder to do it after the fact. If we had been at the table, I think we could have convinced many, many state legislatures that the definition, we are a renewable form of energy and we ought to be included, and we can come up with the wording to do that. But so we've been successful in Maryland and New Hampshire, and we are working in a number of other states to change the definition of a state renewable energy to include geothermal heat pumps. For example, we're working in Arizona with the Arizona Corporate Commission to include our technology in the definition of renewable when they issue an order for the investor-owned utilities of Arizona to purchase so many renewable energy credits that we're in that order from the Corporate Commission. Our geothermal heat pumps are in the definition for renewable, so those utilities can claim renewable energy credits for the thermal energy avoided by a geothermal heat pump. We've had some very good successes at the state level. Vermont recently expanded their energy efficiency portfolio standard and specifically mentioned geothermal heat pumps and that expansion of their technologies that are covered under energy efficiency. In Massachusetts, the Massachusetts Clean Energy Administration just came out with a new program that would offer up to $10,000 for the installation of a geothermal heat pump. So we do have our successes here and there, but by and large, we're still struggling to get into definitions of renewable at the state level.
What's the feeling like when you get a victory in these states, or you know, maybe a little victory at the federal level? What's it like for yourself and GEO's members?
Well, I think we feel very good. When we have a success, we feel that it legitimizes the value of membership in a national trade association. A lot of people, you know, think that, well, it's going to happen whether they're GEOs around or not. And we have to convince people that if you don't have a strong national trade association with an advocacy program at the federal and state level, you're not going to be able to move the market forward when it comes to public policy and the appreciation of our technology. So whenever we have a success, we tout it and we say, this is the value of to belonging to the Geothermal Exchange Organization. Because we financially supported the Massachusetts effort. So, you know, the more dues we get, the more financial support we can give to the states at the local level. And so our effort in Arizona has resulted in a number of new members in Arizona. Our effort in Massachusetts has resulted in new members joining GEO for Massachusetts. And it's sort of a snowballing effect. The more people join and the more success you have, more people will join, more success you will have. And it's important that we have a critical threshold of members at the state level. I mean, GEO is still a small organization, and we only have 3 full-time employees, so we can't be in all 50 states all the time. We have to have local people sort of get organized and understand the legislative process, and we can support them with documents, with legislative language, and in some cases with financial support. But it's modest at this point. If we can double or triple the size of GEO, we'll have much more impact at the state level because we'll have more people that can help and more money to support. So we're always looking for new members. And it's sort of, as I said, a snowballing effect. The more members, the more money, the more advocacy, the more success. The more members, the more success. The more members, the more success.
All right, Doug, well, let's switch gears a little bit here. Obviously, we have a lot of contractors listening to this right now, and you know, a lot of them don't offer geothermal. So I wanted to ask you, what are some of the big benefits contractors can gain by offering geothermal or adding geothermal to their portfolio of services?
Well, I think it improves the bottom line for that company because you have another product in your list of products that you can offer. And I think it's sort of double-edged. I think we're seeing more people want to know about geothermal heat pumps, people that are buying homes and need to retrofit their HVAC systems. I think they're looking at geothermal heat pumps. And the more dealers we have, the more competitive the market, the better the pricing, and the more competent the business infrastructure is at the local level. So contractors contractors who are listening in on this that do not have a geothermal heat pump in their equipment portfolio mix ought to take a serious look at adding that. I mean, you know, companies make money off of margins, and, you know, if you can double 70% or 80% increase in the system you're putting in, you're certainly going to make that much more money. And at the bottom line is that the homeowner benefits too. So it's a win-win. If you can market it properly, sell it properly, and install it properly, the homeowner wins and you win as a business because you're making more money and the homeowner has a much more efficient house and is saving money on their energy bills. So we always say, do you have geothermal in your mix? And if they don't, we say, go look at the manufacturers that are listed and see if you can form a relationship with one of them. I really believe that the more we have dealers that have geo as part of their product line, that everybody wins, all boats will rise. Because when neighborhoods and neighbors see people putting in geothermal heat pumps, they want to know how it works, how their energy bills are, and it's sort of it's almost still a word of mouth industry. But we need to elevate it to the point where it's just a normal part of an HVAC custom company that they have geothermal heat pumps in their product mix.
Now, there's been a lot of talk recently. Obviously, energy efficiency is an ongoing topic, but there's also been talk about the smart grid and things of that nature. And I wanted to know, Doug, do you see geothermal growing in commercial applications where, you know, it can be even more effective?
Absolutely. We actually, since the recession, we've seen a percentage increase in the total amount of shipments in the United States go more towards commercial. Although housing is coming back, we still had 2 or 3 years where there are basically no new homes constructed. And fortunately, the commercial side of the business has been steadily increasing. And I give a presentation called The Market Drivers and the Market Barriers. And one of the market drivers is corporate adoption. Recently, IKEA, 2 years ago, built a new store outside of Denver. It was all geothermal heat pumps. Their new store under construction in Kansas City, outside of Kansas City, is geothermal heat pumps. And any new IKEA store being built in the United States is going to be geothermal heat pump. Walgreens, their new store in Evanston, just outside of Chicago, is a net zero building, and it's got geothermal heat pumps in it. And I heard the man who oversaw that operation from Walgreens, who's their sustainable energy guy, he said that their energy savings is 60% decreased because their energy consumption is 60% less because of the geothermal heat pump. So we think most of the new Walgreens are going to go geothermal heat pumps. We had a McDonald's franchisee in Pensacola, Florida, that built two new McDonald's stores, and he put one with a geothermal heat pump and one with an traditional HVA system. And Gulf Power is a member of my board, and they were very excited about this McDonald's doing this. So they submetered most of the equipment in both places. And after 2 years analysis, clearly demonstrate the reduction of peak and the reduction of energy consumed at the McDonald's with the geothermal heat pump. And the buildings are identical. So what we're seeing is corporations that have cookie cutter buildings across the country, like Walgreens, hopefully CVS, retail box stores, McDonald's, Burger King, they can see the energy difference by putting in a geothermal heat pump and the energy savings. So we think the business community and corporate America is really going to drive the market for geothermal heat pumps. And people will see it. They'll know. Walgreens is going to have a whole effort. They're going to tout the green part of their name, Walgreens, and they want to distinguish themselves in that market for drugstores as being the environmentally friendly company. And so they're going to have a whole campaign about Walgreens. And the interesting thing that when they did the Evanston store, they put solar panels on the roof, and it was so angled and so high you couldn't really see them from the ground. So they wanted people to know they were using solar. So they put solar panels on their pharmacy drive-thru, and they have a couple of wind turbines in their parking lot. But you can't see the geothermal heat pump. It's under the parking lot. So what they did was the engineering company said, let's put the pumping room on the second floor of the Walgreens and have it in a plexiglass office, in a plexiglass room, so people can see the heat pumps. And then they can ask about, what is this? What is this? And Walgreens was like, well, it's a geothermal heat pump system. We're tapping the energy out of the earth as a heat source and a heat sink, and we're saving 60% of our energy by doing that. So that's that's a fascinating development for us, is that corporations are actually touting our technology now.
Wow. Very, very interesting. Now, Doug, the Department of Energy recently launched the National Geothermal Data System. What is GEO's position on this system?
Well, that's really for the steam generation geothermal, the hot temperature geothermal.
Okay.
That's that effort out of DOE. That's always a challenge for us when we say geothermal. A lot of people think about geothermal hot temperature steam generation, and that's not us. We're low temperature geothermal exchange with the earth, and we don't generate electricity. We actually use electricity to do that heat exchange in the ground. So the data that DOE is talking about is a different technology.
How do you work to eliminate any confusion with that then?
We developed a nice one-sided color brochure that is called the Geothermal Spectrum, and it has the three temperature grades, our low temperature, which is the just shallow geothermal pipe in the ground, heat exchange, and then direct use, where you're using hot water, hot springs for hydroponics or spas, and then hot temperature geothermal, which is drilling into the core of the earth and cracking rock and bringing steam out. So we have a schematic of that on a spectrum and showing the different technologies with the different temperature grades. So, you know, there's always been a debate in this industry. I started in this industry in 1987, and we debated back and forth. Are we a ground source heat pump? Are we a geothermal heat pump? Ground source geothermal, ground source geothermal. And we've been debating this for 30 years, almost 30 years now. And when GEO was formed 3.5 years ago, or almost 4 years ago, it was decided by, not me, I wasn't on board then, I came on board 3.5 years ago, but about four and a half years ago when they were resurrecting the old Geothermal Heat Pump Consortium, they were going to name it the Geothermal Exchange Organization. And there were people that were adamant that we should not shy away from what we really are. We are a geothermal exchange technology. That's what makes us renewable. We're using the earth as a heat sink or a heat source, and we're taking BTUs out of the earth or putting BTUs into the earth. We're a geothermal exchange technology, and we're going to stick by that. We just need to educate people that this is a geothermal system. It's a geothermal heat pump system that uses a vertical or horizontal heat exchanger in the ground. And so that was the effort, and I buy off on it. I agree. We shouldn't shy away from what we really are, and we are a geothermal exchange technology. And we're sticking by that.
All right, Doug, well, we'll wrap it up here, but not before one final question. Our listeners want to know, what are GEO's goals for the rest of 2014 into 2015?
Well, we've got several on the federal front. One is to protect the tax credit that's in place right now through December 31st of 2016. We want to protect that tax credit, and we're actually working to get it extended to 2020. The other thing is that we will continue to work to get in the definition of renewable energy at the federal level. And on the state level, we continue to work in about a dozen states to change public policy to recognize geothermal heat pumps as being efficient and renewable. And we want to grow the membership, and we look forward to having a great rest of 2014 and a great 2015.
All right, Doug, thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it, and good luck going forward.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate the time. Take care.
And that's going to do it for today here on the Newsmakers Podcast. We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Doug Doherty about the latest happenings with GEO and the geothermal world. We want to thank everybody for listening, and we encourage you to join us for our other Newsmakers Podcasts, which are available to download for free every Friday on iTunes. For more information on the news and all of our latest stories, podcasts, videos, technical information, and more, visit us at achrnews.com. For the news, I'm Matt Bishop. Have a great day.